Hey now, Habs fans, hockey fans, a brand new episode of the Curfew Boys podcast. I am your host, Sammy Witt, my boys, Chipman Adri, and the stats man, Joey, here on a December 1st evening. Friday, December 1st, episode is airing on Saturday, December 2nd. December 2nd. Yes, gentlemen, how are you?
Good. It's best month of the year.
24 days left.
Winter. Obviously, there's snow and cold.
Well, December, it's December 1st and we've barely had snow.
However,
the northern parts of the province of Quebec have gotten a lot of snow. Like
we're getting it tomorrow, I believe. We're getting some.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
No
Thanks
problem.
So much.
I mean, everyone expects it's going to come at some point, but at least today was nice for December.
Today was a warm day. Today was a warm day for December. It felt like a +5 day.
Yeah.
Outside, you could walk out with a hoodie.
I would dream for a winter. It was a plus five.
Oh, it was a +5. See, I didn't even know.
Yeah, I would dream for winter that it's just this weather all winter, like it is in other cities, not anywhere. You know what, Adrian, New York? Yeah, I guess New York consistently can get that, but I've been there where it's been minus like 5 or 10 on the opposite. They still get some of them, but obviously it's not.
Joey, remember when we went to New York before New Year's?
It was actually +14. I'll never forget.
Dude, it was the warmest winter ever.
Yeah, it was the perfect day to take the ferry boat. We're outside.
Oh my God, it's true. Yeah. Did that. I couldn't believe it. I'm there. I remember the time thinking, like, how the fuck am I taking a ferry boat in a hoodie on December 27th?
Yeah, I know. We're not used to it, right? So no. I dream for a warmer climate, guys. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
Move to Florida.
Here he is, Mr.
Why Florida? Why is the Florida the first thing that comes on everybody's mind? Why Florida?
Why? Because it's basically Montreal.
What if I don't want it to be like Montreal?
He's trying to get away from a certain group of Quebecers, AG. He's not looking to join them.
It's okay. Anywhere, unless you're going to the redneck states, you ain't getting away from Quebecers.
Oh my God. That's true.
They travel places for sure, but at least warmer weather.
However, the warmer weather, yes, I guess we could all want that, but I would still miss the whole opportunity to go play some outdoor hockey, though. That's the one thing that I don't want to be taken away from me is the ability to go play some ODR, go play some shinny with some friends.
Would you trade that for warm weather all year? If you had to choose.
I mean, we get warm weather all year. Like, we get Montreal, we get hot, stupid.
Adrian, you know he's avoiding the question. He's avoiding the question.
No, I mean, I would love warmer weather, but you know, as a Canadian and hockey fan, my God, like my childhood was being able to play some ODR.
And now your adulthood, you can be relaxing on a beach in December. There you go.
I still want to play ODR. I still love it.
You rent the ice instead. And still enjoy the
play indoors.
Weather.
At least you have an alternative. Here, you don't have an alternative. It's cold.
I have to spend money. ODR, you do it for free. You use your natural habitat to
natural habitat.
maybe because I never grew up playing hockey, right? So maybe because I always did it with soccer, for me, playing it in and always a warm climate, I'm completely fine with. So I don't need to.
I would love warmer climate for sure, but I still want my ODR. So I guess I can't have.
Fair enough. You could be a snowbird, half here, half like where Adrian always says everyone goes Florida.
Florida? Ah,
I wouldn't. Florida wouldn't be my choice.
I would try like Central America, maybe like Costa Rica or I don't know.
Okay. See, that's an option I would look at. I would also look at West Coast. Like I'm talking like Hawaii. Like Hawaii type, California. I would choose that more than Florida.
You think they have ODR if we go at this time?
No, definitely not.
Oh boy! So guys,
north of California, maybe.
Yeah, it's still the weather there is. You have to go really south.
Yeah, maybe. But anyways, look, it is what it is. Whether you believe in global warming or climate change or not, it's just different how, like, December 1st, when we were kids, there was snow above our heads.
Yeah, now it's changing a little for sure.
Now it's raining. Anyways, not to open up that can of worms, but let's get on with the the major headlines that's been going on in the NHL and regarding the Montreal Canadiens. But I think the NHL is a brand new fucking soap opera. I mean,
oh yeah.
Yeah, it is. I'm glad you brought that up. I don't know if you're referring to this, so we'll ever get to it. I actually liked and agreed what Tortorella said. I don't know if you saw what he said.
I saw that today, and
I fully agree with him. I don't agree with him.
I agree too.
Yeah, it's
he basically said without he said that.
Say it our way. Don't say Tortorella's.
It's fucking soft.
It is.
He's calling the league fucking soft.
The way he said it, it's becoming a no-hit league.
Yes.
Exactly what football, it's barely, you barely be able to tackle anymore. It's becoming the same thing in hockey where you can barely hit a guy. It's going to be a penalty, a suspension, whatever the case is. There's so many variables you have to go through. When you go through a hit, it's ridiculous. You can't
it's also when it's like you said, when it's a clean hit, take the clean hit that you have to go fight all the freaking time.
Look, there's different opinions about that. When a guy delivers a clean hit and then somebody drops the gloves and goes after the hitter, right? Like I'm on the fence of that. Like, yeah, take the hit, but you know what? A lot of these players need to demonstrate something, need to prove something in order to stay in the league, in order to stay with the team. And 9 times out of 10, it's go after the guy that hit your player. You hit one of your stars. You know what I mean? So I don't mind that, actually. I don't mind the guy. Like, if Nick Suzuki were to get hit hard but clean, legal hit, but, you know, he's hit hard. You think Jack Eye is not going to go after him when he's back in the lineup? You think Pezzetta is not going to go after him if he's on the ice? You think Josh
Harris
is not
going to go after him? For sure they will, but nowadays
that's what it is now.
This is the part that I'm actually okay with. I'm okay with going after the guy that hits. You know what? If you don't bitch that you got hit, take the hit. But if your teammate is going to go after the guy, he's a good teammate. He's looking after you. No problem. This is the problem I have, and that, Joe, you're probably going to agree with as well, is that John Tortorella was stating that this league is preparing these kids, these young guys, and the new kids, the new players coming in, not to be prepared to take these hits. That's what the problem is. I have a problem with. Absolutely. If these players are coming in thinking that they're never going to get touched, that I have a problem with.
Absolutely, because then they're really going to make it a league where they're not going to want hitting, because all these kids are not going to know how to take hits. And I would say more often than not, they might get injured from it. But it's that whole situation. It's not even just about the hit. It's they're actually blaming what's his name from Philadelphia who gave the hit to Luke Hughes?
It wasn't Owen Tippett, was it?
No, whoever it was, while you search it up, we have a great research team. while we search it up, whoever delivered that hit, the way Tortorella was speaking is this player, I don't know if he's going to get suspended, but they're talking about him when whose fault it was in the end was, well, first of all, Luke Hughes doesn't seem to know how to take a hit. He doesn't try to absorb the contact, which what I agree with Tortorella, and the ref's whistle was late. If the ref doesn't whistle, the kid's going to play to the whistle. So I fully agree with the guy from Philadelphia. He heard no whistle. The guy's going to play. Yeah. What do you want him to do? Want him to stop?
Yeah.
Because he thinks it's potential icing. You got to play to a whistle.
And 1,000%.
Luke Hughes didn't. And the refs obviously called it late. That's where it's wrong. Not with the player who hit Luke Hughes. So I don't know. It's just first thing it was remind me, guys. And I know you, I know you probably don't watch NFL as much, but you know how it is where they try to protect players and quarterbacks, which I agree with. You can only tackle in certain ways. So it is so hard to get a clean tackle. It's coming to the same thing in hockey. I feel like slowly it's creeping into hockey where they're trying to make it a non-contact sport. it's not going to be a never be a non-contact sport, but you know what I mean? They're going to have so many rules and regulation. Hitting is just, it's just going to get you into problems when it shouldn't.
Yeah, for sure. But I think the NFL is really looking after the whole concussion thing. That
you're right, but Sam, that's what I think it has nothing to do with concussions, and they're flagged as fouls. Trust me,
I know what Joey's saying. Like when it's the, we'll call it the roughing the passer, the quarterback. Some of them they just freaking touch him on the shoulder and they call it.
Yeah.
I think it was It was Garnett Hathaway.
Mm. Oh yeah, he went flying. There you go. And who?
I'm looking at it right now. How the heck is that a misconduct? I don't get it. It's a hard hit.
First of all, he had two guys. Who delivered the hit again?
Hathaway.
Hathaway delivered it to Luke Hughes.
Okay, I'm thinking about another hit. I'm thinking about the one that when Hathaway got nailed.
No. This was Hathaway on Hughes. Yeah, and the ref whistle was late, Adrian. So what happened was, he gave him a hard but clean hit. There was no whistle. Ref whistle late. It was supposed to be icing, but the kid Hathaway played to the whistle. And this is what happened. And he got a game misconduct.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's basically what he put him into the boards.
But I think the refs
kind of. Yeah. Well, no, it kind of led him into the boards, but he just like completely.
The one where like he almost like head first type thing.
Not even head first. You have to watch Adrian. He was, I don't know, he was a couple feet from the
board. It's kind of like when you hit someone with their, like, you kind of hit their upper body where, like, the head kind of falls first, in a sense. That's what it looked like. Yeah, I don't know.
That's the ref's fault.
But I think that's it, Adrian. I think it's the refs, too, now that are, like, they're I don't know. We bitch about the refs all the time. Sometimes it's exaggerated. Sometimes it's rightfully so. But is it just me or is the reffing this year slowly, or not slowly, but just in general, just been shit? Like they don't know what to call anymore.
Yeah, but it's not this only this year.
It's been multiple years.
It's a couple of years that it's been going down the drain.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. But and to add to more drama, like that whole fucking Corey Perry story with Bedard, like Jesus fucking Christ, man. Yo, people on Twitter.
One person went for it, and then
it's crazy. That whole rumor started by a fake account, and then it just, at least that's what I saw.
That's what we are nowadays.
So. Fucking dude, the people on Twitter should be ashamed of themselves. You know, like holy fuck.
It's not only just there, Sammy, but yeah. It's on Twitter. You see it every social media platform has in their own way. I know you don't have TikTok, neither do I, but I'm sure it's on there as well.
But Jesus Christ, so like it fucking went
just the way it blew up.
It blew up more than the fucking Hiroshima bomb. Like Jesus Christ, it fucking. Dude, but the thing is that everybody believed it. Hold on.
Yeah.
Maybe not everybody, but most of these people believed it.
Yeah.
I think it's because there was no one came out to say anything after to defend, you know, it's not this. Like it took days. So I think that's why I kept building and building.
Well, because they had to, I mean, I don't know if HR members had to be involved, union representatives got involved. Like, I'm sure there was a bunch of people involved in order to come down with a final decision on how to deal with it and all that. But like, holy fuck.
It's okay. He might, like, I saw rumors of the saying, maybe Montreal should go sign him again.
Yeah, of course you're going to get some Montreal Canadiens fans say, yeah, bring him back. It's like, guys, like
every player is linked to us that either play with us.
Stop it, like stop it, man! Like, what are you guys talking about? I mean, for fuck's sakes, like
he's still allowed to play.
Yeah, he is. But now, what is it now? Like he came out saying it. He obviously sent his letter of apology, but now there's the whole thing where like alcohol was involved or substance abuse and all that. So.
But there's also the thing even said that he can technically sue the team if he wants.
Well,
because of now, the wrongful termination.
Well, exactly that. Now, I'm sure his union reps are going to look into that as well and see, like, how the heck could you actually terminate that contract? I mean, for fuck's sakes, you have a guy, you have a Milan Lucic getting arrested for domestic violence. The Bruins didn't terminate his contract. My guess is that, considering the history of the Chicago Blackhawks, like with the whole Kyle Beach story, like I think they have like not just a zero tolerance policy, but like even a beyond that. So maybe because of that, they're like,
yeah, fuck it. Maybe. But again, based on, because there's no, you said there's no criminal investigation. There's none. It wasn't. None of that was done, because that can be terms to terminate. But if it's
it could be
something like whatever happened, if it was just he got drunk at an event and he looked like an idiot, and then they decided to fire him. They can't do that.
So my one question before we're gonna move on, I don't know if we're towards the end of this Corey Perry saga, but do you think he's already a fringe Hall of Famer? Do you think this might cost him a spot in the Hockey Hall of Fame if he were to get there?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I thought of it. I always think he's a fringe to begin with. Like, he's borderline in to out, but I don't know if this will impact him in any way. It was just a thought.
Yeah, but even it's like, if you're considering, like, the Hall of Fame is, you're basing it off what you've done on the ice, no?
Yes and no.
Yeah, I don't think so, guys. Like, to this is my opinion. I don't think his...
I was thinking, on chances, so technically, I wouldn't see why...
No, I don't think so either. I don't see why his chances of getting to the Hall of Fame get ruined because of this.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion, but... Anyways, who knows? It's just like, Jesus Christ, man. Just how it all went down was absolutely ridiculous. Like, if he's seeking help, he said he is, you know, I hope he gets the help he's looking for. And, you know, I just one thing I want to say, though, like, it's just I can't st- like people on Twitter that, you know, they people love to point the finger at someone that messes up or makes a mistake. I think we've seen that countless of times.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure these same people are so insecure about themselves. They've done something wrong. They have a fucking skeleton hidden in their closet. So they wait for the day to see somebody, anybody fuck up, so they could just point the finger at them and be like, oh, that's the bad guy. That's a bad person. So I don't know. Especially nowadays, there's no society, and especially people on Twitter, they don't leave any room for people to make mistakes, but then to, you know, clean up their acts, or there's no room for like some sort of retribution. And I understand there's limits, you know, you go kill someone, you belong in jail, okay? But, you know, like if Corey Perry got drunk and maybe said something stupid, or I don't know if he punched somebody or whatever, who the fuck knows? We won't know the truth. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
he's not a terrible person. He probably did something stupid, one mistake, you know.
I agree.
He's not like, nobody is perfect. Anybody listening here, except for the three of us here, the Curfew Boys, the whole Curfew Boys team, except for us, nobody's perfect.
You're calling the other guys perfect.
I'm calling the three of us and the other. Listen, okay, all jokes aside. Nobody's perfect. Everybody makes mistakes.
Exactly.
And you know what? Like, depends the degree of the mistake, but you know what I mean? As long as nobody's hurt physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever you want to call it, you know, there's always, everybody deserves a second chance. You know, there's always room for retribution, and I'm gonna stick with that. Okay, let's talk about our Canadians, because there's quite a few things to talk about. You know, even this team doesn't have its this team too cannot go on without its fair share of drama. But I'll start with this. You know, look, the Habs, they go 3-2 on the road.
two for three in California. Go to Columbus, win an awesome game there. And, you know, but then they come back home to face the Florida Panthers. And we all know how that game worked out. But I want to talk about that road trip. But this is the one thing that I've kind of noticed about this team is.
Sam, isn't it 3-for-3 road? Are we including Boston? This is not the.
Yeah, we're including Boston.
Isn't it 3-for-3? Am I.
No, they lost to Boston in L.A. They beat the Sharks. They beat the Ducks, and they beat Columbus.
Oh, Panthers was at home. Wow, okay.
Panthers was home. Yeah,
road.
Yeah, so okay. I think this team showed exactly who they are in a sense. Not to say that they create an identity, but on the road, I think they showed that they could beat teams that are weaker than them, but not the teams that are stronger than them for now.
Yeah. That's this whole road trip, and I'll include the Panthers game, so 3-for-3 in their last six, gave me that identity, Sam, that you said perfectly, and gave me the identity I didn't want. I know I'm going to hear from Anthony and Aubrey Hap fan, I'm negative,
before
whatever.
You say anything, Joey, this is part of their rebuild. This is where they are right now.
But I'm speaking of what it is now.
Yes.
We had three wins to me against three bad teams, and they were close games where I was hoping at least one or two of the three, and especially the Sharks, was not a close game. You close that game out early. And then the three teams we lost to are all teams that are good or make playoffs. We didn't just lose to them. We got hammered. We got absolutely hammered. And that's what I did not want to see. I didn't care if they would lose to the Panthers or the Bruins. Well, obviously I care, but I didn't care in a sense where we're rebuilding. But show us you can kind of keep up with them in tough circumstances, especially Boston on the road. They did not show that. They come home to play Florida, who has had a good year, much better start than last year. And Primo, Anthony's boy, looks like he doesn't have a glove. He's like playing with a glove. Sam, 5 goals on glove side. Come on, five goals.
Yeah, I know that. I get that. But for 40 minutes, man, the Canadians.
I don't look at 40. I look at 60.
Yeah, I blame the power play. I blame special teams.
We've been blaming the power play for years. I know.
I blame the power play for this game. They were 0-for-4.
But this is what I was writing that was frustrating. Shoot the fucking puck.
Slafkovský needs to shoot the fucking puck too, man.
No, but even on the fucking power play, that is like 6 million passes.
Well, who said that, actually? Somebody from... who was it from LDS said it? I think Stefan Fize said it. Guys, remember him?
He's not good enough, and he's not. I don't know if it was the same comment you heard, but he had a Caulfield 2-on-1 try to pass, and he's saying he's not there yet to thread the. I don't know if Fizes said it, but somebody said
he should have shot.
He's not. No. Yeah, he should be shooting a shot in that scenario.
Who are you talking about right now?
Slafkovský when he had a 2-on-1 with Caulfield.
Yes,
and he tried to thread it to him, but that's not Slafkovský, or he's not good at that part yet.
Sure, but Stéphane Fissé also said, is like, if the power play, if there's something on it that's not working, just shoot the fucking puck at that point.
Yeah, but they don't.
No, but it's not that they don't shoot. It's these fucking 6 million passes. Like, I was...
Yeah.
They have one guy
but yesterday I was yelling at the freaking TV, like, shoot.
For me, they have one guy
Sorry, Joe. I understand that there's people in there's players in the way. Shoot the fucking puck. Shoot the puck. You're either gonna hit the net or it's gonna knock a guy down and you'll get the puck back.
Yeah. No, I know.
I was gonna add to it, I'm talking about the first unit. To me, out of the five guys, there's one guy that has a shoot first mentality, and that's Caulfield. That's the problem, is there's one guy out of the five, there's one. That's the issue. That's why we're not shooting enough on the power play. So our biggest problem is it's on the power play is always decision making, is how to open up the space and when to shoot the puck. It's been like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's
entering the zone
But again, it's predictable. When you think they're about to open it up, they're going to open up for Caulfield. Guys know, okay, well, we got to cover him now.
Exactly. So. But like getting back to it, Sam and Adrian, that's the part that of these six games in the road trip that frustrated me most. I wanted them to show in one game in LA against the only good California team to maybe even compete, or against Boston, your rival, or against Panthers at home. Sam, I'm not saying to win the game, but make it a game where I don't even need to say it's entertaining for the neutral, but make it where the Habs are close, kind of like Vegas.
Oh man, they couldn't even get past the neutral zone against the Kings.
But that's the issue I'm having. Of we're third year, and I still don't see that progression against these teams. It's frustrating now. It's like, okay, you could say injuries. I get it. Everyone goes sore. But there's losing, and there's losing in the manner of they did the three losses that they had. That's the part that like come on, you could, I'm sorry, at this point they have to show a little more.
I get what you're saying, Joe, but the more and more I see it, is it just me or it's like a lot of the rebuild done with from the back end first, the defense, the defensive side of this team, rather than the forwards as well. Because the only ones I see that are still part of this, the future, it's obviously the Suzuki, Caulfield, there's Slafkovský. Doc is gone because of the injury, so that doesn't fucking help. But who are the rest? You get what I'm saying? Was it Gagnon that said on LDS? He's like, we have great forwards, but none of them are elite. They're not elite.
Sad, right? Gagnon is probably listening to our podcast. I've been saying that for forever.
but you know, I think more and more, not that I don't believe in Suzuki and Caulfield, and not that I don't believe in Slafkovský either, but yeah, I don't think we have a player that's at the tier of
If you look at Caulfield, what he's on pace for, I think he's on pace for 22 or 23 goals this year. If he only gets that, I'm throwing something out my window. 100%, I'm throwing something out my window, because that was the one guy you can maybe count on scoring 30 this year.
Can we choose what item in your room to throw out the window? Can we choose for you?
It's got to be an item I don't use.
Okay, well, nobody touches
that poster.
No, nobody touches that Koivu poster behind you.
I'll throw my lamp.
Okay, all right.
No, but seriously,
like
30, Sam. First thing I'm gonna do is again go back. You know, it stays on my mind every time I talk about the Canadians, and you mention the word elite and forwards. It's the draft stays on my mind, and it will continue to stay on my mind. If we don't see anything in the next few years, and we still don't have an elite forward, and we have Caulfield who's having some disappointing numbers, which he could turn around, I get it. I will continue to look back at the draft in the summer and just, I don't know, just
I get it. And I know a lot of guys, a lot of fans are being like, oh look, we should have drafted Cooley. Now it's like, oh look, we should have drafted Benson. Man,
I'm not saying he's going to be elite, but we'll see. Like
Benson is not going to get you rolling through the playoffs. I'm sorry to say this. You know what I mean? But this is the fucking part about
fans. But also Benson, you're basing it off that goal, basically.
It was a sick goal. Look, don't get me wrong. Like, these kids are they're talented. Yes, but for fuck's sakes, people, like, everybody needs to fucking realize that what happens in the regular season and what happens in the playoffs are two fucking different animals. Zach Benson is not going to fucking steamroll through the playoffs. Logan Cooley is not going to steamroll through the playoffs. Juraj Slafkovský might actually steamroll through the playoffs if we get there. Put aside the if. Let's speak hypothetically. The playoffs stay the same. The game has changed for all these years. We've seen it evolve. It's gone faster. It's gotten this. It's gotten that. Yes. If one thing that hasn't changed in the game of hockey, it's how the game is played when the playoffs come around. It's rugged as fuck. And that's why the guys like Austin Matthews don't get far. That's why the guys like Connor McDavid don't get too far. Although McDavid has a better playoffs than Austin Matthews. But you know what I mean?
No, at the end of the day, well, it's McDavid. It's just, yes, yes, yes.
McDavid does well in the playoffs. But at the same time, too, it's the rest of the team. They don't have that rough edge to them. Slavkovsky will when they make the playoffs. Kaden Gooley will. Arbor Jacki will. Suzuki and Cole saw what they can do in the playoffs. But can you imagine?
What if Mikhov does it? What if he comes to Philly and he tears it up?
Maybe he does. Maybe he does. But you know what? Reinbacher has a rough edge to his game. Guarantee you, in this kid, when he's 23, 24, 25, he's going to fucking put guys through the wall if they make the playoffs.
You know who is his deep pairing partner is right now, right, in the Swiss League?
Yeah, Nathan Beaulieu.
Yeah.
But you know what? Hey, listen, say what you want about Beaulieu, but it's not a bad deep partner to have. Somebody that's played in Montreal, knows the market. You know what I mean? Maybe Beaulieu's going to tell him, look, don't do this. This was my mistake. Stay off the fucking powder. Don't snort cocaine off of fucking strippers at Solid Gold or Chez Pare. And you'll probably have a fucking a successful career in Montreal. But this is my point, though. Like, yeah,
don't you go out with any Russian.
Or that, too. My point is, we bitch about, yeah, we skipped on this player, and on this player. Yeah, okay, maybe on the surface, yeah, you know what? Jesus Christ, we skipped out on someone that could actually snipe the puck between his legs. Listen, I'm not saying Michkov is going to be a bust. Not even. I think Philly has a good player in him. But the true test comes when the playoffs come around.
Yeah, and we don't know until it happens.
We don't know. I'm just speculating. This is just my opinion here. But for fuck's sakes, I know I've watched Kaden Gooley in the playoffs in his final year in the Western Hockey League. The guy was a beast. He fucking played with such a rough edge to his game, yet providing the offense, and that's why he won MVP. Arbor Jacki, his final year in the OHL when he won with Hamilton, holy fuck, he was a man amongst boys in the playoffs, right, and in the finals. You know, that's the guys you want.
Right, but don't get it wrong. You're saying how you think, and who was it, Gagnon, that says you think we're missing an elite forward? The only reason I refer to the draft is because I think, for myself, is we missed out on that opportunity. That's the problem, is we had the potential opportunity. It's never a concrete thing, but we had the potential opportunity. So when these guys say that we don't have one, well, the first thing I think is, well, our GM had the potential to draft one, and he did not. So you can't just keep saying, well, we don't have one. Well, it's kind of our fault. We don't take the risk of going to try and get one. I'm sorry. I just don't see it.
I okay, Joe. Sure. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'll go back to what I think and what I've said before is I think Kent Hughes, Jeff Gordon, they saw how a team like Vegas won the cup, how a team like Colorado won the cup, how a team like Tampa Bay won the cup.
Had elite talent.
Hold on a sec. They did. They did. Holy fuck, though. Their defense. You're telling me their defense wasn't elite as well?
Yeah, but yes, but you obviously having both departments are good, but I mean, I'm right now we're looking more like the Nashville Predators, which never a bad team, but that's who I see us looking like and modeling right now, more than Vegas or Colorado.
I get that because we're missing the forwards. Yes, true.
Yeah. And the goalie, actually, but yeah.
Jacob, I'm telling you, Jacob, I can't wait to talk more about this kid, but we're going to get to the
yeah, yeah, that's coming
but
up.
For sure. Listen, but I, dude, I truly believe Tampa Bay doesn't win the cup without Vasilevskiy for sure, but I think they don't win the cup without Hedman, McDonough. Say what you want. David Savard, too, was part of that, even if he was sure. Number five, number six.
Again, I would never hate David Savard as a six, but I didn't like him in his role in Montreal. So
Well, his role is diminishing, but like
and I'm not complaining about David Savard at all.
It's very notice? True, but yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so
he's not playing.
So, Joey, I know you wanted San Jose, you wanted the Canadiens to really beat San Jose, but listen, they lately, after that loss and shootout, they've been a better team, San Jose. Yeah. They've been better than they beat Vancouver.
That's true,
And they're beating New Jersey right now. Like Adrian and I are watching this rather than listen to you, Joey. But
yeah, pretty much.
I'm kidding.
So I'm glad you mentioned it, Sam. But to go back to you don't find it frustrating at all that any and even you, Adrian, any of the good teams we played, we didn't look like we got spanked. Like I don't know how else to say
it. I get it. But at the same time,
how many good teams have we competed with? So far this year.
You're not expected to really win.
What, Adrian?
Repeat that. You're not really expected to win against
the teams. I'm not saying to win. I did not say to win. I say make it an interesting game.
Yeah, make it competitive.
Yeah, sometimes
make it competitive. Look at what San Jose is doing to New Jersey. They've only done it once. I would say that's awful. I can tell you three games where I felt we were competitive against good teams. How many have we played so far? How many have we played total?
Well, we played Vegas.
I'm talking total games. How many have we played? Montreal has played 23, I believe. I think it's 23.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was game 22 right now.
I think it's 23 they've played.
We're at 23. Yeah, sorry, you're right. Yes.
I can recall. I may be missing a game. But I can recall against good teams, Montreal has played well in three of them. Out of how many good teams we played, I would say maybe half of the 23 we played are good, maybe three quarters that I consider good or better than Montreal. I think three of them we played extremely well.
Well, hold on. I think they played well against Toronto in the season opener, for sure.
Then it's four, but I don't consider Toronto. I'm just saying there's not enough. I don't know how to express this. I wanted Montreal to go a little bit more. I wanted them to be a little more competitive than what I've seen so far.
Okay,
three to four games where they've been competitive. Vegas.
They played well against Boston.
Vegas, and Toronto, like Sammy said. Again, there might be a game I'm missing, but out of 23, I don't feel like that's enough right now.
I thought they looked pretty well against Columbus when they were.
I said good teams.
Oh, good teams. Okay.
Columbus is not a good team. I just.
What about the game against Winnipeg that they won 4-3? Yeah, Winnipeg. That was a good game.
Montreal played well. Our Winnipeg.
Yeah, Winnipeg's a good team.
Winnipeg's a good team.
Winnipeg's better than a shitty team.
They're average. Okay. average.
Look, I just don't. Yeah, I totally see what you're saying, Joey. Like we want them to be competitive against these strong teams, but
I think that's how many times are they actually playing these teams?
Embarrassed as much as we do. That's why I was hoping when we had this episode, this is my frustration, because when I saw yesterday's game, I was throwing my hands in the air. I'm like, it's another game out of the last three good teams we faced. I know they're some of the best teams in the league. We didn't look bad. We looked embarrassing. It was frustrating. I'm sorry. Like,
well, just that third.
Get a glove.
But just that third period was embarrassing. Yeah, but hold.
But Sam,
I don't know.
The game looked embarrassing against the Kings. The whole game was embarrassing against Boston.
What's that? What's another reason why Primo was having a hard time?
Because Anthony likes him. No, it's the whole goalie rotating situation, which has to. We said this episodes ago. This has to stop.
Is that a one-timer to our final segment, which was the story of the day regarding the Montreal Canadiens?
Sure.
Do you want to jump right into it, Joey?
Sure.
Here, Joey. I'll let you make the announcement. There you go, Joey. Go ahead.
Sam Montembeau signed a three-year extension official with the Montreal Canadiens. So getting into this goalie talk.
All right. How much? How much is he getting per year? What's the AAV?
So 3.15 or 3.45?
Samuel Motombo, 3-year extension.
315.
At 3.15 on the cap.
He's getting paid more at the, I believe, at the beginning than he is at the end. But next, not that we care about
it. Yes, next year, he's getting $4 million. $1 million is the signing bonus. And then the rest, and then it drops after that.
I'm okay with the contract. I actually thought maybe around 3, but I mean 3.15 is whatever. It's like very close. It's fine. I think he's a good number 2 to have. Again, to me, he's not going to be your number 1 to win a cup. Maybe if you have much better group in front of him, perhaps it changes. But the way we are now, we're still, Montreal is still a team that predicates a lot on their goaltending. Which we're doing a fucking horrible job right now with Marty St. Louis. I'm about to start having to talk to him in some way because this is fucking, this is truly disgusting. I'm sorry. I have never seen a team.
Not his decision.
I don't care whose decision is. If it's whose decision, it's even worse. I'm sorry. If it's whose decision, it's enough. It's 16 or is it 17 games in a row? You switch not 2 goalies, you're switching 3 goalies. That's absolutely ridiculous. Anyways, we'll get to that point. But for Montembeau, I think it was right to give him a deal. I personally think he deserves it. As a backup, he'll be a wonderful backup in my eyes when we're contending for a cup. But if he has to start, it's not a bad ordeal, especially in the next couple of years.
It's the perfect contract for me, in my opinion. It's a perfect contract. I was having this conversation with a colleague yesterday. He was worried that he was going to ask for 4. He was worried that Sam Montembeau was going to ask for $4 million.
His ass would have been off to Edmonton in that case.
in my humble opinion,
his ass would still be going to Edmonton.
No,
just because they signed the contract.
He's the one. Wait.
Hold on a sec, guys. Look. I just want to talk about the functions of. Hold on a sec, guys. Guys, good. Don't blow your loads just yet, please. Hold on a
sec.
I ain't
blowing anything.
I hope not for you. Anyway, I'm not cutting that part. I was just saying.
No one's at the cut.
No, listen. I honestly thought I wanted somewhere in between $3 million and max 3.5. The 3.15 is actually, to me, I think it's perfect. The 3-year mark, the way I see it is, they're waiting for Jacob Fowler to see where he's going to be in 2-3 years from now. That's what I think. And I think I saw somewhere too that like he's getting, like Montembeau is getting paid a little less than like what the average goalie's making. Like average goalies out there, like if you look at Georgiev, he's getting paid, like if I'm looking at him here right now, he's getting paid 3.4. Which, it doesn't seem...
Are these the starters or just the average goalie in general?
Yeah, Georgiev is the starter
Colorado. The average goalie, what he's being paid, but are you talking about starter your goaltenders or the whole list?
Starters. I mean, look, I'm thinking Damko, he's getting paid $5 million. Let's look at... Here, if we look at New Jersey too, man, their goaltender situation, Vanecek 3.4. So you know what I mean, like a lot of these fringe starter goalies, like the ones that have like this whole 1A, 1B situation amongst their goalies, like Montembeau is getting paid less. So to me, this is a great deal. But I just love, like you said, Joe, he's getting paid more this year. So look, like oh, so yeah, the average is 3.15, but like I had mentioned earlier, he's getting. My God, where is it? Hold on a sec, I lost something here.
We also lost Joey. Yeah?
We lost Joey. Oh, okay. See, I didn't even see. Joey will be back. it's funny because my screen is getting blocked off with the cap friendly website here. But yeah, look. Anyways, before Joey comes back, Montembeau's making $4 million this year, $3 million next year. Then it drops to 2.45 the third year. That's a Kent Hughes genius move.
Yeah, but like I said, but again, Edmonton also was waiting to see what was going to happen.
I'm back.
You're back, Joey. Yeah. Joe, you know what the funny thing? Sorry, AG. I'm looking at my laptop screen here, but like I have our screen covered by the website Cap Friendly because I'm just trying to see the breakdown of Montambo's contract, and I did not see that you were gone. So
it's okay. I froze. I don't know if it's
no, it's all good.
It happens to me once every recording. Only StreamYard.
But anyways, Joe, like we said earlier, the quick details of Montambo's contract. Yeah, $4 million next year, $1 million in signing bonus. $3 million the year after that, and then the third year drops to 2.45.
Yeah, I think it's a good deal. I think cap wise,
that's Kent Hughes magic.
Yeah, and it's a good. Obviously, years are very important because you got to be in the right time when you have all players, good players. You got to pay, so I think it's a good deal for him time wise, and we can see what he can do the next 3 years. But the only thing is, right now, it's again whether it's his decision or not, or Marty's or not, whatever. If it's Hughes, the value won't be good if he's only playing one every three games. So that shit needs to
stop. That now begs the question or raises the question. Now that we know Montambo's contract situation, what's going to happen now? What do you guys think is going to happen now?
It's not going to change anything.
I mean, what we predicted
someone needs to get traded.
Right. And we all talked if it was going to be Allen or Primo. I gave my my pros and cons of why each can be traded if we need it, like a recap. Obviously, Allen, pro-wise experience, we all said it. He can, you know, he can bring you experience if you want to make it go far, although he hasn't proved it as much. I know at the cup run it was Binnington. I know he was there in the locker room, but actually playing the games. But he has that experience. His negative is his age and his contract. Yeah. And teams that are very tightly, you know, cap restricted, be very hard. And Montreal have to keep retain his salary for what is it, 2 years? Well, this season and next, I believe.
Yeah, this season next, yeah.
Yeah, so Montreal has to make that decision if they want to do that. Whereas Primo, you don't have the experience, but he's a lot easier to move, especially with his contract, and he's a lot younger. So for a team that's on the up and maybe wants a younger goaltender, hopefully didn't watch the third period last night, but besides that, any team that wants him, it'll be much easier to move him. Will Montreal want to give up on Primo? That's the question we have to decide.
Which teams really need a goalie right now?
I mentioned Columbus would be good for Primo as well. I think they need a goalie, and they're going to be a team on the up. We mentioned New Jersey needs a goalie. Yeah. I mentioned New Jersey.
Yeah.
As well as obviously Edmonton. I think there was one more that I'm forgetting, but I know those three for sure that I've mentioned that I feel need a goalie.
I get the feeling that maybe Hughes is going to look into dealing. I think he's going to try to deal Allen, and I think he's going to try to deal him to a team like New Jersey.
Yeah, I saw he.
I really do.
An option. He was an option for New Jersey. They're even talking about the Halak for New Jersey too. Oh
my but God. Sam, if you're New Jersey and you have the, but you have the players you have, you they're all young, okay. Well, first of all, they have to make the question to themselves: are they a team to contend for the cup? To me, they're very close.
I thought they were going to be not only cup contenders. I thought they might have a chance to probably win it. Probably.
Okay. They're okay. So if you think they're cup contending, it's fine. For myself, who thinks they're very close, but I still think there are teams ahead in New Jersey. If Primo can show you that he has the potential to be a future number one, if he can show people in New Jersey or convince them, he would be in the right age to grow up with the rest of his teammates. That's the only thing I'm thinking of compared to Allen.
But I think the team that I still think Allen is going to be the odd one out, the odd man out, because he wants to play more, and he's not going to be playing more if Montambo's there. I don't think he's going to play as much as he wants if Montambo's there. So
if he gets traded either to New Jersey and wherever, he's going to be their number one.
Yes, he's going to be their French starter. But this is he's got to go to a team where they really think having Allen in the locker room and on the ice with them, starting with, they have full trust in him. They have full trust in their defense that can, like, you know, could help him out. That Allen needs just to play well enough to keep the team in there, but doesn't have to rob games. I think he's going to go to a type of team like that.
Yeah, it's very possible. The only negative downside is I went to look in New Jersey's cap space. They have $500,000.
Yeah, I know.
So they got to work something out to get him.
Oh, I think Hughes is going to use the salary retention to help these teams out. But at the same time, too, he's going to be like, listen, I'm helping you out. You got to give me something, too, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely something's going to come back.
Like, for instance, I actually thought Colorado wasn't doing too well because Pavel Francouz or Frank South, however you pronounce it, is out. But, like, Georgiev is kind of holding his own. Like, the Avalanche, I think they're top in their division, in the Central Division. They are. So,
yes, but Georgiev was always good, even when he was playing with
New York,
because he was back in Shesterkin. Like, it was always,
yeah, that's true.
It was almost a whole Swayman Ullmark situation.
Yeah, but now Georgiev was more like, come on, I want to play. Like, whereas Boston, I think they have.
Oh, we lost Sam.
No, he's still there. He's just muting.
So as Sam is...
Hold on 2 seconds, guys.
You unplug your mic?
Yeah, my mic keeps plugging out. But
remember, I'll continue to say while you fix it, Vanacek, where we're talking about New Jersey, he makes the same salary cap-wise as Allen.
Yeah, yeah.
So to have two goalies at $3.4 million, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to want to pull the trigger on that, New Jersey.
I don't know if New Jersey could give up some things for, like, they
what about Jesper Bratt? When does he come back to Montreal?
Oh,
I'm joking. I
wouldn't mind having a Jesper Bratt.
Yeah, I'm clearly joking because I don't know who New Jersey GM is.
Well now that Dougie Hamilton is out indefinitely, like, maybe they're not gonna look for a goalie, but they're probably gonna try to get a defenseman.
That's true.
Yeah. Look what Vancouver did. Go and get fucking Nikita Zadorov from Calgary.
Yeah, I thought the value was a little low on that trade, but
dude, the Leafs for sure.
Maybe David Savard.
Well, now that he's injured, I guarantee you Savard's gonna get traded next year at some point to a team that might win the cup that just needs a number six.
And that would be our third and final slot retention, right? That we can use? No, we used two already, or one is gone at the end of this season, I believe. I believe one is gone.
Yeah, we're only gonna have the Jeff Petrie salary retention next year.
Jeff Petrie.
Hey, that was a great deal. That was a great deal.
Yeah, it was.
But
I didn't want to retain the salary, but
no, I understand that. But I don't know. I still think, and you know what? I think they put Primo against the strong teams on purpose just to see how he could play. Call it what you want, man. I think he's passing.
Sam, we're here to try to progress. We're here to try to get better, and, like, we're not putting ourselves in a position to get better. But would you put Primo against Florida? I wouldn't have.
Why not?
For Monty.
Sam, he's not our best goalie.
But it's Joe. He held his own up until 40 minutes.
It's still not our best goalie.
You're talking about a kid that barely played in the NHL.
But Sam, look at the progression he made. I can't believe you're defending this. He gave up 5 goals. I don't care if it was 5 minutes left in the third or 40 minutes before.
I get that.
But you don't give yourself the best chance to win. That's what I don't understand.
The problem was way before his fucking glove side wasn't working. About that game yesterday, they couldn't.
Okay, but besides just Primo, go into Marty or Kent Hughes. I don't like the decision that they don't play the person that is going to give us the best chance to win a game against Florida, which to me is Montembeau. Right. And if they're doing this for business, I mean, what are you going to do? Squeeze an extra round of a draft pick, and you're costing your team wins. Who knows? Montembeau could have played better against Florida, and you could have had an extra 2 points.
You're not wrong, but the fact that they're trying to, like, to me, this is, I think this is good for the kids, showing, hey, we have confidence in you to play against these good teams. I don't think they're there being like, we want to put you against these good teams just to see how much you can fuck up. No, it's the opposite. No,
it's never. I know it's never going to be the case, but Sam, I don't know. Now, what's the thought process of playing this guy, especially against a good team? They have confidence to see what he has, and every good team they've played, I'm sorry, they haven't won.
Yeah, they won against Boston. What are you talking about?
Was he in Nets?
Yes.
Yes.
So he had one win. Congratulations.
What are you talking about? He's 2-3 right now.
Sam, what I'm saying is I don't think
you won against Buffalo, I believe, and then you won against Boston.
I don't think we're doing ourselves a favor by not playing our best goalie against the best teams.
Joe, I hear what you're saying.
I'm here for Montreal. I'm not here for Primo or Montembeau or Allen.
Are we still in the time where, like, we have to win as many games as possible to try to make playoffs?
I mean, I would like to. We're not at a point where we're getting last anymore. So forget it. Forget that. That shit's over. I've been on it for 2 years. We obviously messed that up. We got Slafkovský instead of Bedard. So we move on from it.
They weren't even in the same draft. What are you talking about?
Yeah, we messed it up. Which year we weren't last. We messed that up.
Oh, my God. No, it's Bedard's parents didn't fuck at the right time, okay?
Okay.
No, Sam, listen, Bedard, I think, has more points or is going to have more points than Slafkovský in a year than Slafkovský will. Oh,
come on. You can't compare. Anyways, I was
making a joke on that. We're okay, at the gotcha, point to gotcha. Me to see. I want to see progression. I don't know. I want to give us the best chance to win. And for me, rotating the goalie every fucking day is not it. Obviously, they're showcasing it, but everybody's saying enough is enough. And when you have the good teams, I think if your goalie, unless he's fatigued, you play the best goalie that's going to give you the best chance to win against good teams. So to me, Montembeau should have played that game.
Okay. I think they do that once they get rid of once they feel like which goalie can we trade and get the best return?
Sam, we are in December. Hockey started in October. How long can this continue?
No, they're not going to, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs anymore. I mean, anything could happen.
Well,
that's okay. Shit. Let them try to get a top 10 draft pick one more year, and then we fucking go.
Yeah, one more. It's always one more year.
Exactly.
One more.
Thank
year.
You.
One more year.
One more and I've year. Been on the complete tank train. I'm off yes, of it have. Now. We had enough draft picks. They need to just start. Just put whatever you have that's gonna make it best for you to win that game.
To me, I think they really have to start thinking about being competitive once they get rid of the deadweight contracts. And one of those deadweight contracts is going to be one of these goalies.
But Sam, I don't know.
Is it frustrating? Yes. Yes. Is it annoying? Yes.
It's too early to say, like, okay, well, we're not making plus. I know we're not going to. I get it. And you made this argument saying, well, they have to go out there every night and compete. They don't care about tanking, whatever the case is. It's too early to say, well, we're not making playoffs. Let's just throw Primo to the Wolves. I'm sorry. It's too early for that.
Listen, but they kind of have to. They have to do this. They have to show what this kid could do. And so far, I think he's proving something. It's far from perfect. But I don't think he's as shit as when he first started with the Canadians. I really don't. I think he's progressing.
I don't think so either. I agree with you. I think he's gotten better. Thing is, I don't know. I come up to these games and you see Primo or Allen because they keep rotating no matter who the fuck they're playing. That's the part I don't agree with. I think they should just play the best they have. They could have an extra 2-3 wins. You never know. An extra 2-3 wins could be a bit closer to playoff. You never know. Make it exciting.
Listen, I think we could all agree that the one goalie that's been very consistent is Montembeau.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And I think people have been, to be honest, I think people have been very hard on Jake Allen. I don't think he's played particularly well, But if you look at the games compared to Primo, and I'm getting, I'm not going to reveal like shots or stats, but
yeah.
I looked at it. If you really see it analytically, fucking Allen has, to me, has had way, way, way less support than Primo has.
Yeah.
Like, it's like he's playing, he has no defense in front of him. Like, the game against Boston, he might give up a goal or two. But he had 44 shots. Yeah. It just didn't stop.
Oh, I totally agree. I agree with you on that 100%. My only thing with Allen is that, man, there's like games where he lets in a fucking beach ball of a shot. And then maybe another play or two, he's making these fucking Patrick Roy, Marty Brodeur saves.
Yes, but in the end, you look at the total, he's been hammered for 60 minutes.
Yeah.
He's been getting killed.
Yeah, totally.
That's the problem.
Yeah,
but also, people emphasize on the one goal or two goals against Boston. Mm-hmm. They had 44 shots and they didn't stop all game.
Go, Adrian.
But also, don't you think also is they're constantly rotating their goalies?
Yeah, of course. That's the first thing I said. It's the first time in NHL history.
Yeah, but I'm saying also the defense is like, okay, who are we playing in front of tonight? So
I think defense do that. They actually, they're always aware who they're playing in front of, and I think they
it fucks them up. Well,
not that it fucks them up, but I think they have they're a lot more like, okay, listen, against this goalie, maybe we can, lack of a better term, cheat because he's gonna bail us out. Whereas, okay, this one, let's fucking help. We have to help him out. And maybe like a lot of times they do that. How many times
they do that with? I would see them.
We saw that. How many times did we see that with when Price would play versus Al Montoya?
Price is.
I get it. You can't compare. I get it. But still, defensemen.
What Price?
Don't bring him in this conversation. Okay.
Gotcha.
But Price, what Sam saying is they would gamble more with Price because they know if they need a save, they'll get it from Price. Where Primo, I think they try to conserve him, be a little more conservative. Allen, I don't know. I don't think they're being as conservative with Allen, if it's me, to be honest.
No, they're maybe assuming, you know, because he's older, more experienced. Okay, he's not. They're like, okay, he can handle himself, basically.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
For sure, but going back to it, to me, it's the first time I've ever seen and watched.
Yeah, but it still fucks
where they rotated three goalies. First time
I think it fucks everything up, like for the team and the goalie, and there's no one's consistent.
Especially the goalies. And to wrap this up, I think this is why Allen's gonna go, because I think he's frustrated with the situation. I really do. And I know Kent Hughes is a good people's person, and I think he'll respect the player enough to be like, okay, we know you want to play. This is our situation now. We're going to try to
find something for you.
I think he's going to treat this situation now the exact same way he treated the Jeff Petrie situation, the Joel Edmondson situation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the Canadiens play Saturday. Sorry, what did you say?
Casey DeSmith.
Oh my God. Yeah. Casey DeSmith too. Yeah, for sure. That was part of the Petrie trade and all that shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly that. So the Canadiens play Saturday against the Detroit Red Wings. I think Patrick Kane is going to come back to the Bell Center with his brand new team.
The pairing, it too. The Chicago pairing. Yeah. They're doing better this year, Detroit.
Slowly.
Top Detroit, 10, I think.
I like this Detroit team, to be honest. And them too, like, they've been rebuilding a little bit, but they're adding key veterans and stuff. Anyways, we'll see how they go. But I don't think it's been announced who the starting goaltender will be yet. At least I haven't seen.
Well, if it goes by the trend, isn't it Allen?
Oh, I think Allen gets a start tomorrow. Okay, isn't that it?
It's Primo, Allen, Montembeau.
I don't freaking know anymore. But let the street, go on.
But then it's also okay. You say Allen, you just finished signing the other one to contract extension, and you're gonna
sign him and you don't play him.
That's right. It should be it was Allen against the Kings, Montembeau against Columbus, and Primo against Panthers. So they can if they continue that trend, it's always Allen after Primo.
So if they continue it, it's Allen.
All right. So, and on the injury front, I think Newhook, well, we know he's injured. Canadians called up Mitchell Stevens. No report yet on the extent.
So Anthony was wrong on Roy.
They're not going to call up Joshua Roy. Look, speaking of Laval, it's 10 p.m. right now. We're wrapping this up. Laval is starting their game in Abbotsford, something like that.
So Sam, Anthony was wrong, right? He didn't get it right?
Anthony was wrong. He did not. He did, his prediction,
100%.
His prediction of calling up Joshua Roy was wrong, and it's the right decision. Do not call up this kid. Keep him in Laval. Let him continue playing well. Top six minutes. Yeah, they're Abbotsford, not Abbotsford. Abbotsford.
Where's that?
Somewhere in BC. It's in the West Coast.
Never heard of it.
I think it's in BC. I don't know. Abbotsford, but it's in the West Coast. They're playing it right now. So that's a wrap, ladies and gentlemen. Unless do you guys have anything else to say? Do you have any final words? Any last words?
Congrats to our future defenseman, Lane Hutson, for winning another award. I don't know. That's about it.
Lane Hutson winning another award. Jacob Fowler winning another award. Philip Machar won OHL Player of November.
Yeah.
And even Owen Beck is dominating as well. So that's that, folks. Thank you all for tuning in to the episode of the Curfew Boys podcast. Please follow us on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok. Please like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. It is free. Tell your friends about us. It'll only help us grow this page. Thank you all for your support once again. Joey, Adri, guys, appreciate your time. Until the next episode.
Bye now.
Bye.